Hello everyone. Today I want to talk about the year ahead. We're stood here at the beginning of 2021. And I don't know about you, but as I said the other week, I'm looking forward to hearing about what God has already started and how that is going to continue. And the more I think about these things, the more I realise that what God has planned for this year is partly to do with us. I'm looking forward to seeing how God works his purposes out in us for his glory, for his kingdom, even in the midst of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. So this morning we're going to look back in history again to see how we, the church, should go on together now. Because in all that is going on, it is certain that we are seeing a time of global shaking, a time of fear and uncertainty, a time unlike what any of us have ever seen before. This is also a time when God is calling us to remain strong, to see it through, to stay the course. So what is it that God is up to? What is it that God is doing? You know, as we went through Advent, I did a little daily reading, if you like, a little daily reflection on preparing for Christmas. And in that process, I found that God was speaking to me very clearly about the need to be preparing for the second coming of Jesus. So the answer to the question about what God is doing is this. He is getting his church ready. Now, before anybody thinks that I'm getting all weird about this and I'm saying that God has somehow told me about the second coming, that Jesus is going to come back on March the 14th at 6 a.m. in the morning, no, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that for us as individuals, we should make sure that we are prepared, that we are ready, because we don't know when Christ will return. And in that, we, the church, should be encouraging each other to be walking in God's will, walking in his ways, so that we're prepared for when he does return, helping our brothers and sisters so that we remain in the Lord, being ready, being vigilant, being attentive to his voice. Yes, God is preparing his church for his return. Now, at this point, I'd like us to have a look at our reading for this morning. Hopefully some of you will have read it already. This morning's reading is from Luke's Gospel, and it's chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" So, what do you hear in this parable? Do you hear about prayer? Do you hear about persistence? Do you hear calls for justice? About how God is the ultimate justice? Well, there's more. Because at the end of this passage, Jesus says that God will bring about justice for those who cry out to him day and night. But then he asks a question. Let's read Luke chapter 18, verse 8 again. "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." And then the question. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" Jesus is asking, how many people will stay the course? How many of us will endure? How many will be actually prepared for his second coming? How many Christians will there actually be left in the world? We're going to unpack this morning and see how this impacts on us. Now, if you have the time, you could pause right here for a moment or two and go and read about Gideon in the Bible. We hear about him in the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, chapter 6 and chapter 7. It really is a great account. I heartily commend it to you. You see, all of this about being prepared began to come alive in my mind when I was reading the story of Gideon. And it's not just about being prepared. It's about us. It's about the church. It's about the few, the remnant. You know, when Gideon finally accepted God's call to lead Israel, the Lord told him that the amount of men he had at his side to fight the army were too many. How many were there? Well, in the first instance, there were about 30,000 people, 30,000 men. And God said that if there were that many in the army, they would think it was through their own might and through their own numbers that the victory had been won, and not through the Lord. So God told Gideon to get rid of the majority of the army, and he did it in stages until there were just 300 of them left. 300 out of 30,000. And in the end, with just 300 soldiers to fight the mighty Midianite army, with that small remnant, God was able to win a mighty battle. So who were this remnant for God? Well, first, they were people who were not afraid. Because, you know, for us too, when fear enters the picture, it's often followed by a lack of faith in God. It's when we get fearful that we stop standing on the promises of God. It's when we get fearful that we begin to sink into the water, into the waves, rather than walking on top of it. You just ask Peter. Secondly, they were vigilant and watchful. If you've read through Judges 6 and 7 or know this account well, you might remember that when Gideon took the army to drink, many of them drank by cupping their hands together and bringing water to their mouths, indicating that they were keeping watch of their surroundings. And God told Gideon to keep these ones so that just 300 remained. This is who we are called to be. Those who remain. The loyal, the strong in faith, the vigilant, the watchful. This is who we, as individuals and as the church, are called to be. So what will this remainder, this remnant, look like? What will the church, the remainder, be? Well, it will be a church that won't give up on God. Instead, they will press on ever further in their relationship with him. No matter what. When things are bad, and even at their worst, the remnant church will not go spiritually backwards, nor will they become hypocritical and say one thing while living another. The remnant church will trust God and his word with the outcome to all that is going on. Why? Because the remnant church lives and breathes and has its being in God alone. That is, it is completely and totally dependent on God. It's a church and a people who wholeheartedly believe and who live their lives knowing that God will work it all out for good in their lives and for his purposes, for his kingdom. The remnant church will preach the gospel because only the gospel has the power to save. In John chapter 1 verse 18, Jesus said that if the world hated him, then we should expect the same. And the remnant church will look and act like Jesus. It will be an example to the world of Jesus and all great love he has for the lost. And how will we do this? We will weep with those who weep. We will mourn with those who mourn. We will bear one another's burdens and walk that extra mile with them. It's not a matter of how people think about something, nor is it our place to tell them that they're wrong in the way they feel. Rather, we are called to help them wherever they are in life's journey, to be signposts to righteousness, to be the way to Jesus. Those that others can trust, those that others can depend on, those who are different. In other words, we are called to share the love of Jesus with all. Now, most of you, I'm sure, have an understanding of what I'm saying about being a remnant, about being the remnant church. But just in case, let me outline what it means and how it is mainly used in the Bible. And the first thing, I guess, is to understand what a remnant is. Well, a remnant is a leftover, a smaller amount from a larger portion. It could refer to food, or to clothing, or to many other things. But in the Bible, it mainly refers to God's people. Those that are left after some sort of catastrophic event or some sort of judgment from God. The idea of a biblical remnant is seen in what Isaiah says concerning those Jews who would return to Jerusalem after their Babylonian captivity. Listen to Isaiah chapter 10, verses 20 to 22. In that day, the remnant of Israel, the survivors of Jacob, will no longer rely on him who struck them down, but will truly rely on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. A remnant will return. A remnant of Jacob will return to the mighty God. This is how Isaiah talks about the people that will return from captivity. And then the prophet Isaiah describes, Ezra describes them in the same way in Ezra chapter 9 verse 8. But now for a brief moment, the Lord our God has been gracious in leaving us a remnant and giving us a firm place in his sanctuary. And so our God gives light to our eyes and a little relief in our bondage. You see, God promises that he will keep this remnant. He will pardon this remnant. He will give them rest, removing their enemies. They will take root in the land of promise and they will be fruitful. We see this in what the Lord said about the remnant returning from their captivity also in Jeremiah 23 verse 3. I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their pasture, where they will be fruitful and increase in number. Do you see, this is the same message at all points. Throughout the whole course of human history, God has always had his remnant. Even after the pronouncement of coming judgment on Israel, due to their continuous rebellion against God, God still keeps a remnant. Those who had been faithful, those who had stayed the course, those through whom God could work for his kingdom purposes. Let's look at Isaiah again, this time chapter 1 verse 9. Unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. And we see the same idea in what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 9, 27 to 28. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the numbers of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. So then, my question for today is this. Who is part of this remnant church? Will this remnant church be made up of some sort of super Christians? No. The remnant church is made up of those who have a simple faith. It is those who love Jesus Christ above all else. It is those who will obey his word. It is people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, who practice true humility. It is those who will love others as Jesus Christ has loved them. So folks, as we look into a new year in very uncertain times, let us do so in the knowledge that God has plans for us, that he wants more than anything. What he wants more than anything is for us to stay the course, to be rooted in him, to stand firm in all that we go through, so that we are ready. Ready for everything that he has in store for us. Ready for where he wants us to go. And ready for his return. So, the call for us is to stay the course by going back and keeping the basics of our faith as outlined in his word. Let's remain in him so that he remains in us. Let's be strong in the faith, maturing in the faith, encouraging in the faith. For this is God's calling. This is his word to us.